So we just hit start. Okay, so let's see where we're at. Can you tell where that is? It says OPBC online, unable to connect. It is streaming on Sermon Audio Live. Oh, it's scanning data. It says unable to connect. Whatever that. That's D Live. Okay. But Sermon Audio, it looks like it's streaming. It's streaming on... That one's YouTube. Okay, that one's going up. Yeah. I wonder if I can go to my YouTube page. That show. That does. That looks like that. It says there's only 9 on there. Okay, now I'll have to figure out. Anyway, so that's the way that works. So anyway, you guys are all hearing me talk and trying to figure out this new way we are streaming. So anyway, we're streaming on 3 different platforms right now. We are streaming on Sermon Audio Live, we are streaming on OPBC Online, which you can view on YouTube. You can view. Oh, it has a little. Okay, good. So the stream is buffering for some reason over there. Oh, okay. That's why. All right.
of Zion and shout on your way. Shout on your way, Jesus saves. Jesus
Well, amen. I hope that it is coming in clear for you. We are streaming on multiple platforms here this morning, or this late morning here, early afternoon. We are trying to figure this all out. So I'm going to be teaching you today on a few different things on the LGBTQ movement and what Jesus had to say. And I'm going to show you why I'm going to teach on that in a little while here. And I hope the sound is coming in good. I hope you can hear fine. That music was beautiful, by the way. I might play another song while I navigate through here. That was Alan Ives, and that is a beautiful song, by the way. And I'm glad to be with you Friday morning here, late Friday morning, heading towards afternoon for some of you. And I hope everything is clear. We still don't have the camera situation figured out, so when I jump around, I'm going to have to hit things and do all that fun stuff, but don't worry about that. We'll get all that figured out. But I rejoice that I can see a lot of your different, texts coming in through Restream, and Restream is showing me just the different, things that are going on here. Let's see. We have Sermon Audio. It's supposed to be streaming. Somebody jump over to Sermon Audio on another browser if you can and see if it's streaming live through there. Let's see. It looks like two people are watching through Facebook, which we don't have. I might change that. Now, the Facebook OBVC Online, I'm not sure how many people are on that Facebook page. My public page, Jason Lee Cooley, or Jason Cooley, that one gets a lot more people on it than this one. So we'll work through all that and figure out how all that fun stuff is happening and get it all figured out. But I'm looking at something through Restream right now. I'm looking at everything that's going on here and trying to figure it out. I'm glad the audio is clear for you. Glad things are going well on that end. Let me play another song here, and I'm going to keep kind of going through there. Yep, I see that. That's interesting. I do see the, and I'm sorry about Brother Carl. Good thing those messages weren't too private that you sent me there. I just broadcasted them everywhere, but everybody knows you're my friend, so that's going to get you in trouble anyway, so it won't matter. Everybody knows you're my friend, and you're in trouble. That's just how it works. But anyway, praise the Lord for that working there. Okay, let me go back to the Restream thread here, because I'm going to be teaching. Was watching on FB and YouTube. Good. We'll be able to send more things out and be able to do that. Voidex said, I didn't even know you had a page. Yes, I do. Well, you're on my personal YouTube, Facebook account, Voidex. You're a friend on there, but you might not be on my public page. Well, don't be surprised that my public page is hidden. Most of my pages are hidden. And let's see. We are streaming on Sermon Audio as well, which is good. I didn't click on there, but I think I will, and just take a look at that. Then I'll have 1,000 streams going here. What am I thinking? Let me see here. Let's view on custom. Oh boy, I better not do that. Anyway, I don't know what that is, so we won't go there. Andrew will have to. Now, remember, we're tweaking everything right now. We only have 23 people on YouTube right now. We've got a few scattered abroad. We tried to go on something called DLive, but I don't think I'm cool enough to be on there because it didn't work. So whatever it is, it didn't work. Let's see. YouTube is coming in clear, I believe. Yes, it is. YouTube is coming. I generally have more on there, so I'm just wondering what... Well, it'll take some time. It always does. People need time to get on. I may go to a 2 o'clock every three times a week to keep it more regular for all of our folks so they can figure that out easier. But you all know how to find me. And then hundreds and sometimes thousands of people get the replays. And that's usually how it goes. A lot of people don't have time. Somebody check if they would, if they're on a computer, check sermon audio and find out. What exactly, boy, that's weird. I get the craziest stuff sent to me. Find out if it's working, DLive. I'll be working on restreaming live. Sermon audio is on our website as well. That's right. Let's go to our website and, man, I hope I can remember it. We don't use it enough. That's the problem. I got to start using it, but here we go. Here is the live stream player, and it's working. All right, so we got it. It is streaming live right there through sermon audio, so praise the Lord for that. That is working good. So this is, like, all amazing to me, all right? I'm, like, bouncing around here trying to figure out. We are going to add Rumble because we already paid for Rumble. I paid for a subscription to Rumble. It's going to cost me about $25 a month. And it's going to cost us more money to stream on all these platforms. But I'm sick and tired of YouTube kicking me off all the time. So I need to have multiple platforms that I can stream from. And I want to get the gospel out there to everywhere. I want these messages, like what we're talking about today. What did Jesus say about the LGBTQ? I want those kind of things out there so people know. And I'm going to show you why I'm kind of talking about that later on here. But we'll shoot the breeze for a while here as we give folks a chance to get on. And I'm excited that this is working good and all that good stuff. I hope you are. Oh, look at this. Facebook just sent me a message saying he's live. All right, good. Well, nobody, I don't stream on Facebook ever. So we'll have to build up those platforms of people that are used to seeing us on those different, you know, that they can be used to seeing us on those different platforms. So anyway, pretty cool that we are on here. Now, let's see, go back to the chat here. And now I can do that. Oh, let's see. Sermon audio works fine. It's excellent. Picture quality is even better. Well, praise the Lord. Did Facebook just assume your gender? Well, I hope they did. Let's see. Please pray for a driving student and instructor. The girl, the student rolled the car. They're in the hospital. I don't know any details. Facebook is blurry. Well, Facebook is kind of blurry. Let's see. Flying to OPBC on this one's a little blurry, but YouTube is clear. Good. YouTube is clear. Facebook is blurry. All right. Good. Wow. What a lot. This is awesome. This also costs us this restream we're using. We're investing more money into the Lord's work here, okay? Because restream is costing us. We are streaming on multiple platforms, and it's going to cost us extra money. But we want to reach more people. We want to be able to get the gospel out there, get the truth out there, get the scriptures out there to people, get the preaching of God's word out there to people. So in order to do that, guess what we have to do? We've got to pay for it because YouTube has built this absolutely humongous, network, and the Googles have control over everything. Rumble is another good one that we're working on. So we'll be working on that as I explain everything to you in the beginning of this and then all that good and fun stuff. But I'm sure that we'll end up getting more people on here. So let's play another song here. And now I'm getting kind of used to this a little bit. You got to understand, like, my eyeballs are not even used to what I'm seeing. I'm seeing, like, different things everywhere. So it's like I'm trying to adapt to that. You don't understand with my brains the way that works, trying to adapt to things like that, right? So you'll have to give me a break, if you would, please. Let's play this song. Right, sail on, sail on. Amen. That's some good singing right there from Brother Alan Ives and his family, the Ives family. And you should check out their albums that you can get. You can get those on Apple Music. You can get those probably on Google, I'm sure, or you can go straight to their website. You can get it from there. But I would suggest getting it. It's great music, and you need to surround yourself with good music. You need to be listening to good music. You need to be singing good music, right? It's important. All right, we're going to do one more, and then we are going to get right into our lesson here today and start talking about these current events, especially a hot topic right now that is, you know, it consumes people during Pride Month, obviously, especially those that... shall we say, are dead in trespasses and sins and lost. And by the way, you need to know how to talk to those people. Also, those lost people, and tell them what Christ said.
Beneath that flood, lose all their guilty sins. guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. Sinners plunge beneath that flood. Lose all their guilty stains. Ooh. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And then may I, the vile as he, wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. And then may I, the vile as he, wash all my sins away.
All right, so let's get going here, and we're going to talk about this here. Let's say hi to everybody here real quick. Let's see, Commie Tube is on there. What's up, Commie Tube? All right, let's see. Let's go back to the beginning of the restream here. And Mary Teresa was first. Andrea, my wife, Hannah. Carl Winters, Proverbs, the entire book, Big Whale, Teresa, Daryl's wife, Elijah Morgan, trucking through Arizona. I like Arizona. I was just there a couple weeks ago. Bend, Oregon, street preacher. I know that guy. Jack, Idaho duck hunter. Okay, he's duck hunting in Idaho. It's kind of weird, but whatever. All right, Benjamin Kelly. Christine Sinclair, I hope you're doing well. Teresa Williams, Daryl's wife. Carl Winters. Rachel Marshall. All right. Harriet. Luke Bicey, Boyd X, okay, here we go, Aaron Marshall, okay, okay, I think I got everybody here. Joey and Joe McDonald on the farm. Michelle is here watching from Florida. Hey, congratulations. You reached 100 messages today with Restream Chat. Hey, that's great. I almost feel honored by that. Oh, Michelle, the feeling is mutual. I appreciate that. We love everyone out there and want to give them the truth of the gospel and try to encourage God's people. You know something? I received an email from a lady in the middle. It was the middle of the night for her. It was midnight for her. And she messaged me and she just said how encouraged she was. She found my sermon on a woman, on whatever happened to the role of a woman. And she said that she was so absolutely encouraged by it that she had to write and just let me know that to encourage me, that she wanted to encourage me that it was a blessing to her. Okay? And boy, I'm sure glad when the truth is a blessing to people. That you don't know how much that encourages me, because I get a lot of angry people, a lot of opposition, a lot of people just tune me out when it comes to the truth and talking about these topics. And, you know, it isn't always easy to do that. It isn't always easy to give people the truth. It's always right, but it's not always easy. But I appreciate people that will listen and, They'll actually take to heart the scriptures and the things that they're learning and that they hear, and they're encouraged. You know, some people just say, they're just like, you know what, I'm just glad somebody said something. I'm glad somebody's saying it, right? Angie, good to have you on here as well. And, you know, people are just happy that somebody's speaking the truth and that they'll do that. I had a lot of encouragement on that video concerning that Jezebel apostate that was on there. They were very encouraged by that. If you haven't watched the 9-minute video, you can watch the 9-minute video and you can see exactly what happened there with that lady and how she was preaching a false gospel to those people and she was lying to them. And I don't like that when people lie and don't tell people the truth about the gospel and they leave them enslaved in their sins. And then you can watch the entire 2-hour broadcast if you want to, where I break it down and have a whole lot of fun while I'm doing it. Because I do, I'll have to admit, when I deal with these people, it's serious business. It's sober business, but I do have a lot of fun. I like what I do. I'm thankful for the calling God gave me, and I enjoy it. I don't always enjoy everything about it. Some things are grievous. You know, some things are very sorrowful and very grievous. But, you know, I do enjoy the Lord's work. I do. I'm grateful for it, and I hope the Lord gives me a long time. Look, I'm 45 years old, and I would love for the Lord to give me and my wife. I'd love for us to just grow old together and die together. That's really what I want to do. We've talked about that. We just want to grow old together, see our children raised, and live for God, and preach, and I'd like to preach till I'm 90 and then just walk off that pulpit and go to sleep and wake up in the arms of the Lord. Amen. And, all that good stuff. So we'll see what the Lord allows in the years to come. But boy, I sure hope that's the case. I sure hope I can continue on and preach. I'd like to pastor this church, Old Paths Baptist Church, if it's God's will, I'd like to pastor this church until I'm dead. Hopefully that's not in a few years. Hopefully I have a little time to go. But I'd like to pastor this church until I'm a very old man. That's what I would like to do. God would let me to be in the same place and be faithful till God takes me home. And so I've been pastoring for 15 years, coming up in September. I'd like to pastor for 50 years. So that'd be 35 more years, and I would have to be 80 years old to pastor the same church for 50 years. So I hope the Lord allows that to happen. Unless he takes us all home and it's over, but that's fine too. Whatever the Lord's will is. But I'd like to, then I'd like to start other churches out of this church, and that's our goal, is to start them all over the country, all over the world, whatever God allows, and to start churches everywhere to train these young people that are coming up. We have 40 children in our church. There's a lot of young men there. I want to see God call them into the ministry, and even some of you out there that God will use and by this ministry and help to encourage. I'd like to see that happen. So that would be a blessing. And if the Lord allows that, boy, that sure will be a great thing. We'll see what God allows. But anyway, I'm happy to have this platform here as well, to an extension of Old Paths Baptist Church, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church. I always say that it's a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota, because that's what it is. This is a ministry of the local New Testament church. So anyway, well, God bless you all. I hope you're doing good today and all that good stuff. So you just remember that to share these things, share the different platforms that we have, share the different, the different opportunities that are there to hear the truth with other people so they can hear it, right? We want people to hear the truth. They need it so desperately. Man, I'll tell you, this world, let me start out by saying, let's see. Well, sweet. Okay, good. So there's like 10 people on sermon audio right now. There's about 40 people on YouTube right now. There's nobody on the other ones, but I'm just kind of looking at all these and kind of it's interesting. You got to start somewhere though, right? And before YouTube started burying me when I first started doing my broadcasts again about 3 years ago, I think it was, we had hundreds of people on there. We would have like up to 100 people. I don't know if Carl remembers that. Carl, if you remember that, you and the others, if you guys remember that, we had like 100 people live on there. Do you guys remember that back in the like 2 or 3 years ago? And then YouTube just started burying my stuff down, you know? Well, you're probably right, Big Whale. You're probably right. I remember the video about Christmas. It was great. Oh, okay. Christmas videos. Yeah, well, Teresa, I wish you all lived here. Then you could come to church here. You and Daryl, that'd be great. I'd probably make you and Daryl mad at me. If you got to know me that well, you might get mad at me. But we know they buried us, right? YouTube did. But that's okay. Hey, I'm glad to be here. Hey, you're always glad to be anywhere if you're above ground, right? Praise the Lord. So I remember those times, man. We had some fun on those broadcasts. Man, I had a lot of fun. I still do. I always have fun. But I do. Amen. All right. Well, I'm gonna have to mess with that camera again. I've been talking so long. Let's see. That's pretty cool. This Restream has a timer. It shows me everything on there. It's pretty cool. I like it. I like this Restream thing. Once we get it down, I think it'll be a blessing to a lot of people. And then I like the fact that I could chat from here and it goes to everybody that's commenting there. You know, we can do that. That is so awesome. I like that. Now, if YouTube ever cuts us off on a live stream, I think the other ones, you can go immediately and pick up on the other ones. Right? So, but you know what? You know, let me see here. Yeah, there was a lot more before. Fabian22 from Pennsylvania. All right. I remember some of those was crazy, some of those broadcasts. But then, boy, they found a way to get... Yeah, I don't know what they did. They just shadow banned me. Hey, by the way, guys, you want to hear something funny? I was at 14,800 subscribers. It would bounce from 14,800 to 14,700. I was at that for 4 years. Now it finally turned over 15K. You know, so anyway, I thought that was kind of funny, but That is what they did. So we're going to get on Rumble too, by the way. I know I already said that, but just remember that. Okay, anyway. So we are going to talk about the LGBTQ, seeing this is Pride Month, right? That we really need to look at Jesus's words. Do you know this guy right here, this representative Ted Lieu or Lau or Low or whatever his name is? He says he made some headlines here. And we're going to talk about him. Yeah, we've got stuff on Rumble right now. We have videos on Rumble, but nobody knows about us. And I don't know. We're kind of confused because my videos are monetized and I don't think we want to. We are live on DLive now. Whatever DLive is, I have no idea. It says we're offline right now, but maybe it'll work. DLive is probably a place that I'm going to make a lot of people mad. That's probably what DLive is. Who thinks that? Who thinks people are going to be extremely angry with Pastor Cooley on DLive? Yep. So, Jody Hammond, I hope you're doing well. God bless you. Out there in Missouri. Tell people, Missouri. All right. So this Rep. Ted Lau. By the way, do you think it's funny that his district is CA-33? Carl's favorite number right there. 33. Carl's favorite. Right there. In a short speech on the House floor, he criticized the GOP for bills that Democrats have condemned as targeting the LGBTQ plus individuals. Plus. What, pray tell, is a plus? We don't know. Like Dr. Seuss says, I don't know. Go ask your mother. Right? Here's what he said that Jesus said. I just thought I would now recite for you what Jesus said about homosexuality. You ready? Okay, here we go.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. In March of this year, the Washington Post published an article titled, GOP Lawmakers Push Historic Wave of Bills Targeting Rights of LGBTQ Teens, Children, and Their Families. In April, Washington Post published another article titled, Some Republicans Fear Party Overreach on LGBT Measures. I just thought I would now recite for you what Jesus Christ said about homosexuality. I yield back.
Okay, so what this lying little devil, did was misrepresent God Almighty, okay? What he did was he tried to say that Jesus had nothing to say about the homosexuals or homosexual movement. And he says, well, if you look at the writings of Jesus, or the words of Jesus, he said nothing about that. Well, now we're going to go through some scriptures today. By the way, let's talk about the overreach of all of these movements. How about this? And then we'll get into what Jesus actually said. Because, by the way, you do believe that all of the word of God is what Jesus said, right? You don't just, you surely aren't one of those people that only believes that the words in red are Jesus's words. Because the Bible says Jesus is the word of God. It says that the prophet spoke, right? Here we go. Let me read it to you. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it tested beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. The Spirit of Christ was in them, so when they spoke the words of God. Let's see. Five times the testimony of Jesus is there, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Right? What does the Bible say? That spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. It's the testimony of Christ. That's what the spirit of prophecy is. Now, here's another overreach. Songs for the Holy Other, hymns affirming the LGBTQIA2S/. Here, it's almost like it's a Big Mac. Remember that 2 all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions. Got the rest of it is. Is it lettuce on a sesame seed bun? I can't remember. Anyway. But that's what they're doing, and they're trying to make you think, right, by all that they are doing and saying that Jesus affirmed all these things, or Jesus didn't have anything to say about homosexuals. He didn't have anything to say about the LGBTQ. Of course not. Ask any Christian, and they're likely to tell you their earliest experiences of religion are ones of music. The memories of voices swelling with song or grandmother softly humming a favorite tune can hold a sacred place in one's heart, deeper than even speech or scripture can reach. Jeanette Lindholm knows the feeling. The professor and hymn writer based in Salem, Massachusetts. Oh my goodness, she's based in witch headquarters. She literally is living in a witch's haven, a witch's coven, sorry. Right there, right around the witches, right in with the witches of Salem, Massachusetts. Isn't that great? But she'll call herself a Christian. Great. Except her early years of faith were marred by a strong dissonance to her hometown congregation, even to her family. Lindholm's sexuality was a sin in need of healing, an aberration to be tolerated at best. But Lindholm didn't want to be tolerated. She wanted to be loved. I profoundly believe in the healing power of love and grace, she said. I didn't want to abandon my faith. Well, you did, because you never had it in the first place, and you did abandon it. See, grace is a teacher. You know what, grace? I'll show you. Here it is right here. You ready? For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Right? We're to live soberly, godly, and righteously in this present world. That's what God has commanded. Now she has a hymn book here. Instead, she dedicated her life to studying music, feminism, and theology. Well, let me tell you something there, lady. Feminism and biblical Christianity do not mix. One is of Satan and the other is of the Word of God. Feminism does not mix with biblical Christianity. Does not. Absolutely does not mix with biblical Christianity. It is an affront to biblical Christianity. It is against biblical Christianity. Biblical Christianity is based, humanly speaking, in a patriarch system. Humanly speaking. God is a father. Jesus Christ is a son, is the Son of the living God. See how that works? And no, the Holy Ghost is not a feminine. The Holy Ghost is God, and he is called him, he. See, the Bible uses absolute descriptive pronouns, male and female, which we will get to, my friends. We will get to. I love it. I do love it. If there's a group of people that I really love giving the truth to and making sure they understand it very thoroughly, it has to be the feminist and the sodomite LGBTQ agenda. Those groups. Because I believe a lack of manhood is what caused those groups to be what they are today and to be so bold. She fell in love with her now wife, Chris, and found a faith community that believed what she had all along, that divine love has no qualifications and to be different is a blessing. Oh my goodness, you definitely are a witch. You are a witch. You are just like Ted Lau there. Old Rep Teddy there. Rep Teddy's a witch too. Why? Because they're manipulating, right? They are changing the truth of God into a lie, and they are worshiping and serving the creature more than the creator. They're blaspheming God is what they're doing. It's exactly what they're doing. They're teaching something that's false. And it's reprehensible. It's wicked. It's vile. And I'm not even speaking on the act of it. I'm speaking on their position. Their position is the most vile thing. To misrepresent the God of the Bible and to say something completely foreign and different to what the God of the Bible says. It's blasphemy. It's wicked. It's vile. And God hates it. So, this affirming, this gay affirming or LGBTQ affirming hymnal, two of the Lindholm works are featured in Songs for the Holy Other, a collection of LGBTQ affirming hymns compiled by the Hymn Society, a 100-year-old institution for religious music that apostatized. Thank you very much. First published in 2019, the collection has proven to be a unique resource for churches who fully celebrate queer believers. So now, here we go. You have a 100-year-old apostate. Let me say something that might shock you. Are you ready? There is no such thing as queer believers. No such thing. So whenever you hear that, whenever you see that, whenever you hear people, you ought to know that they do not follow the faith once delivered unto the saints. They do not follow the Bible faith. See, there's a difference in my faith. I have my faith. You have your faith. Everyone has a faith. Everyone has a faith. No. There are no such thing as LGBTQ Christians, and if you believe that, you are deceived and you don't know what a Christian is. There is no such thing as LGBTQ Christians. No such thing. None. None whatsoever. Because Christians repent. Christians turn from their sin. Christians do not live in their sin. They do not continue in their sin. They do not practice, plot, and plan things that God absolutely hates. They do not do that. That's not what Christians do. Christians are followers of Jesus Christ. Hang on a second. When someone tells me that they are a Christian and they are a sodomite or they are a transgender or they are any of those things, then I will ask them simply, what is the gospel of Jesus Christ? What does the gospel do? Because my Bible says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. My Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Jesus said, if any man will follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I'm going to do sometime a study in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 says very clearly something that you ought to know. And you hath he, I just did my devotions this morning here. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked, past tense, times past. Ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace. Now, you know what? No one reads 1 through 7, do they? No, we won't read 1 through 7. What does 1 through 7 do? 1 through 7 describes what biblical salvation is. It describes the attributes of biblical salvation. It describes the fruit of biblical salvation. It explains what salvation is. The fruit of it. Excuse me, the fruit of what salvation is. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You were dead. Quickened means to be made alive. I'm no longer dead to that sin, or I'm no longer dead in sin. I'm to live dead to sin and to this world, but I'm no longer dead in sin. I was quickened and made alive. God breathed life into me through the Holy Ghost. And I used to walk that way. I used to walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. I used to walk that way. That's where, verse 3 says, that's where my conversation used to be. My conversation used to be in the world. That's my manner of life. My whole life was wrapped up in the world. I followed it, its fashions, its rat race, its money, its philosophies, everything. I followed it. I lived it. It was me. It's what I desired. It was my life's desire to follow the world. It's what I did. I followed the world. Because I had the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And that was my life. All I could do is disobey. Everything I did was disobedience to God. It was in direct rebellion to God. I kept living my life like that. I kept walking like that. I kept talking like that. I did the same things. When nobody was looking, I lived like a devil. Right? That's what I did. I lived like a devil. That's what I did. That's how I walked. That's how I talked. That was my manner of life. It's how I lived. Right? The Bible tells us that. That was who we were before. We're not those people now. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, we were there, hath quickened us together with Christ. So he made us alive. And hath raised us up together to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now look what it says. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We have been made alive by Christ. We are not those people that we used to be. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. That was a bus song. The places I used to go, I don't go there anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. Amen. The things I used to say, I don't say them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. Amen. Hallelujah. For the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world, which quickened us when we were dead in trespasses and sins. So when somebody tries to tell you there's tons of LGBTQ Christians out there. No, there's tons of false converts out there. There's tons of deceived people out there. There's tons of people that don't know the power of the Holy Ghost of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. They've never been changed by the Spirit of God. They're still the same old dead, nasty, perverted, vile sinner they always were. They've never been made new by Christ. They've never been brought out of darkness into the kingdom of Jesus Christ the Lord. They've never been made new. And I'm not going to let anybody tell a story like that without giving them the truth. No way. And by the way, anyway, we'll get to this. Let's finish this up. The title songs for the Holy Other is a self-conscious claiming of otherness as holy and beloved of God. The project's mission statement reads, LGBTQ Christians, faith leaders, and allies know how important this perception is to see otherness celebrated in this powerful form of song and to be considered necessary in a community instead of just tolerated. Do you understand what they're saying? Do you understand what they're saying? You're at a church here, sort of, they are. They're saying that pride is okay. Homosexuality is okay. Anally raping somebody is okay. Living their lives like that is okay. What they're saying to you is that the order that God laid down is not correct, but they're correct. Do you understand what they're teaching? They are saying homosexuality and the LGBTQ movement is holy. They're saying it's holy. Do you understand that? They're saying it's holy. They're calling that music songs for the holy other. Representing seven denominations and a wide range of sexualities and gender identities. Wait. What do you mean gender identities? Wait, like, well, Jesus didn't say anything about that. Oh, well, as a matter of fact, he did. Seven times. By the way, seven is the number of perfection in the King James Bible. Mr. Carl Winters, servant of Jesus Christ. Just so you know, that's number seven. I know Carl knows that. I just like to give him a hard time. I really enjoy doing that, don't I, Carl? Okay. Jesus said the same thing as from the beginning. Look at Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Okay. Well, sound, and this is what I tell everybody when I'm out there preaching to them. All of you are here today because as a result of a male and a female coming together and having a baby. All of you are here today for that reason. No one here under the sound of my voice is here in any other way. And then they just like lose it. They just like lose their mind. It's like, what? It's almost like they start melting on the sidewalk. They start twerking everywhere. Devils start flying out of their heads, their ears. Devils shoot out of their ears. They start snorting devils and start speaking in vile tongues and going insane on me. Why? Because all I do is just say, everybody is here today because of a result of a male and female. Everybody. Right? Everybody. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? Well, of course it makes sense. It should make sense. It's the truth, right? It ought to make a lot of sense to people. I don't know why it doesn't. It makes sense to me. So, next we see in the book of Generations. Check this out. So God's given generations. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. By the way, you want to watch a feminist lose their brains and go, bah! You want to watch them do that? It's kind of funny they do that. Just tell them that man is the head of the woman, that that's the way that God intended it to be. You know, and this simple generations, that simple generations lesson, right? That simple lesson is important to understand, right? I'll just remind you of this because I think it'll help you to just remember this. Just remember this.
station just to watch the evening news. And what I saw on there made me want to crawl right through the tube. Cause they were talking about this wedding, but they only showed two men. So I fired off this little email with some words just for them. Come on down to the farm, come on out to the barn. You won't find two roosters walking arm in arm. They couldn't make no chicken, they don't lay no eggs to hatch. When God said love your brother, I don't think he meant like that. Well, in that little email, I began to tell them how two mares can't make a stallion, two bulls can't make a cow. It takes a male and a female for the species to go on, and there'll be no reproduction if the plumbing is all wrong. So come on down to the farm, come on out to the barn. You won't find two roosters walking arm in arm. They couldn't make no chicken, they don't lay no eggs to hatch. When God said love your brother, I don't think he meant like that. We used to teach our children all about the birds and the bees. Now the world keeps telling them you can do anything you please. We need to get back to the Bible, back to the gospel truth. Cause a million happy roosters won't make a single chicken. So come on down to the farm, come on out to the barn. You won't find two roosters walking arm in arm. They couldn't make no chicken, they don't lay no eggs to hatch. When God said love your brother, I don't think he meant like that. When God said love your brother, I don't think he meant like that.
All right. Well, just so you remember, that's I wanted to remind you of that, just so you never forget the very simple lesson, right? That if you just go down to the farm, go out to the barn, right? You won't find two roosters walking arm in arm. I had one sodomite get mad at me. They go, "Cause roosters don't have arms, dummy." I just laughed at him. I thought, that's pretty funny. All right. Look at this, what it says here. Songs for the Holy Other was compiled by the committee, right? So remember, he says there's nothing going on there. Well, what does the Bible say? In the book of Generations, you can't have a society. Let me guess, he's a white male. Yet why? Voidex says, I'm playing your video out loud at T-Mobile and the girl helping me is offended by you and is talking about you. She's like, let me guess, he's a white male. Well, you have it exactly right. I am your worst nightmare. I am a white male and I am not apologizing for it. That's something. I'm not. And you can let her know I'm not a Trumpster either. Because I didn't fall for that idiot at all. All right, here we go. Genesis chapter 5, verse number 2. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. Genesis 6, 19. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Why? Well, they had to be male and female. Otherwise, you ain't going to get no chickens with two roosters. Right? Don't work that way, does it? Or do it, however you want to look at it. Genesis 7:16, and they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Well, it'd be a bad thing if only a bunch of gay roosters went in, wouldn't it? Good thing there ain't no such thing, right? All right, Numbers 5:3, both male and female shall you put out without the camp. Okay, the Bible talks about that. Matthew 19, Jesus says to them, in case you're confused about what marriage is, right? Jesus is going to explain to you. Here it is. Are you ready? He's going to explain to you what marriage is and how a society continues on. And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Jesus is telling you that God made them male and female in the beginning. God made them to have a father, to have a mother, to have a family structure, not one that you invent in some psychiatry chair or some lab or some figment of your dark, satanic, wicked, perverted, vile imagination. But what God says a family is, what God says it is, Jesus said, go back to the beginning. This is how God made it. This is how God commands it to be. And you're not allowed to change the definition of marriage. You're not allowed to change the definition of what a family is. You're not allowed to change the gender roles from male and female. You're not allowed to mix those up. You're not allowed to do that in God's eyes and then call yourself a Christian and say, well, you're a born-again Christian then. I'm a born-again believer too. I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. No, you haven't. You're a liar. Because you don't even believe God's words. By the way, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What foundation do they try to destroy? The book of Genesis. And here's their line. Here's all the words that Jesus said about homosexuality. Well, that's a lie. You want to know why Jesus didn't preach against a bunch of sodomites right there on the corner? But he did talk about Sodom and Gomorrah, didn't he? Do you want to know why he didn't? Let's see what Jesus did say. Look at this. Look what Jesus said. Recognizing Sodom, what did he say? But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. What happened in Sodom? They all fried. He killed them all. He fried them all from heaven. Jesus talked about it. And he said it'll be more tolerable for the land of Sodom. Well, that wasn't very tolerable. No, it wasn't. Whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you when you depart, then shake off the dust from under your feet for a testimony against it. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment. Well, Sodom and Gomorrah is destroyed. The whole land is worthless. It was turned into salt. Yeah. That was the point Jesus was making. If you think that was bad, you ain't seen nothing yet. That's what he's saying. So he takes them back to the beginning and he says, male and female. right? That's what he takes him back to. Christina Turner says, victims of assault should not be blamed for being assaulted. I agree. I don't know what that means, like what you mean by that, but I agree. And I don't think anybody should be assaulting anybody. How about that? I don't think anybody should be assaulting anybody. So anyway, we see here that Jesus had a lot to say about the foundations. He had a lot to say about obeying God. He had a lot to say about going back to what God taught. But let me tell you something else. Jesus, there wasn't a problem in Israel with the homosexual movement at the time of the Pharisees and the Sadducees at that time. Why was that? Excuse me. The reason why there wasn't a problem is because they banished them from the land. They would banish them. They weren't allowed to be around. They weren't allowed to be anywhere near Israel. So that's the reason you don't see a lot of talk about that, right? Because it wasn't a problem in Israel. That's one of the reasons why. Now, but what else do the scriptures say? Do we only take the words of Jesus in that sense and say, well, these are the words of Jesus, so the rest of the Bible is not to be important. It's the words of Jesus that we're supposed to listen to. Well, isn't it all the words of Jesus? Well, it should be. It should be all the words of the Bible is important. And the teachings of the scripture should be important. And the teaching of the scripture all the way from Genesis to Revelation is that the effeminate, right? The sodomites in the land, right? Those people were wicked in God's eyes, and God had a judgment upon them always. Here's what the Bible command was, the law of Israel. There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. That's pretty clear. That was the law of God. Right? 1 Kings 14:24, and there were also sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. The sodomites were in the land. That's who they were. And he took away the sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. 1 Kings 22:46, and the remnant of the sodomites which remained in the days of his father Asa, he took out of the land. And he broke down the houses of the sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. All of them were removed out of Israel. People wonder, why didn't Jesus speak on it? It wasn't really a problem. It wasn't a problem. It was a problem among the Gentile nations. It was a problem among Gentiles. I want you to see a word. It's called unseemly. I want to teach you a word here. Romans 1:27. Look what it says here. who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. What does God call them? Vile affections. He calls that LGBTQ vile, and their workings and what they do, vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. What is that? What you would commonly call lesbians. That's what you would commonly call lesbians. Right? That's what it is. That's what it is. The natural use of the woman, and likewise also the men. Well, back up here, verse number 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Hang on one second. Vile affections. Bible talks about. Says that he gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. That which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Well, look at vile affections. Look at the word vile. Shameful, basely, right? How about the word vileness? Meanness, despicableness, moral baseness or depravity, degradation by sin, extreme wickedness as the vileness of mankind. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman. What is the natural use of the woman? A marriage between a man and a woman. Observing the marriage bed, which is undefiled. Burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly. So, the Bible describes homosexuality as unseemly. What does that mean? Webster's defines unseemly as not fit or becoming, uncomely, unbecoming, indecent. The Bible describes homosexuality as indecent. That's what the word unseemly means. It's indecent. It's unbecoming. It's not kind. It's not love. My sons, let your unseemly discord cease. It's indecent. Right? That's what the Bible is explaining. Homosexuality, transgenderism, all it's indecent. Just like fornication is indecent. And receive. Now, where is that? Where else is that word used? Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly. What is the Bible saying to you? That when somebody says, God loves everybody, and love is love, and pizza is pizza, and tacos is tacos, and love is love, right? Well, it's not, because the Bible describes what true biblical love is. It's charity. And it says charity doth not behave itself unseemly. It's not indecent. It's not unbecoming. But homosexuality is. And that's what the Bible is explaining. That what they do, what the homosexual movement does, what the transgender movement is unseemly. That's what it is. And likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. By the way, the Bible says that homosexuality is not convenient. It's not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters. They say, yeah, we have gay pride. Well, we know you do. That's why Sodom fried. Because of gay pride. That is why Sodom fried. That was the whole reason that God fried him. And then every other sin just stemmed from their pride. Right? Every other sin just stemmed from the pride of their life. They did what they did because of pride. Now, we're not going to get into what all that today because I'm going to save that. We've got all month. So we'll be working on some of those things. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. So look at the difference here. If you want to know the difference, vile affections, natural affection. See the difference? One the Bible calls vile affections, the other is called natural affection. There is a natural affection. That's what the Lord describes in the scriptures, what a natural affection is versus a vile affection. See that? For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against, nature. See the difference? That's the difference. Vile affection versus natural affection. These differences are very plain to see. They're very clear. Right? What else did Jesus have to say through his disciples? See, you either take all the word of God or you take none of the word of God, but you don't get to say, people say, what about mixed fibers? You mean for like Levitical priests? Well, I'm not a Levitical priest. So I'm not too concerned with that. If I was holding the Levitical priesthood and I was going into the priesthood and I was, back then I would have to be concerned with that. But I'm not. I never was. Here you go. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Okay. I want you to think about this for a second, because here's more Bible on this topic. Be not deceived. The Lord is telling you, yeah, but but my affirming hymn song of a holy other book. Yeah, but my holy other songbook. What are you talking about? It's my holy songbook. It's my gay affirming pride songbook. Yeah, but Jesus said, be not deceived. Look at this. We're going to make sure we look at this. Be not deceived. So the Lord is commanding us through the inspiration of the Holy Scriptures, through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, the Apostle Paul is telling us, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't you know that? He's asking you a question. Do you know that? Don't you know what the Scriptures teach? Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Why? Because many will come to deceive you. Who are they? Well, I'll show you. Like T-Bone Teddy here. T-Bone Teddy. Well, what's he doing? Well, he came to deceive you. Old T-Bone, old Rep T-Bone Teddy there. Old teddy bear, he came to deceive you. Right there, they came to deceive you. That guy. Who else came to deceive you? This one. Well, who else came to deceive you? Well, this lady right here. This false prophet. Who else came to deceive you? All the LGBTQ affirming churches. Right? They came to deceive you. The Lutheran churches that are the ELCA churches, all these churches that have turned their churches into pride churches. They came to deceive you. So Paul says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Oh, yeah, thanks, Brother Carl. I forgot about him. See if I can find him real quick. I know I'll find him here. There he is. And that guy. That guy right there. That guy. He came to deceive you with the Minnesota Methodist. That guy. That guy was mad at me. That guy. Just remember when you're ever talking about this topic. That guy. That guy right there. He's always watching. That guy was so upset with me. That guy. But they're here. What are they going to do? Well, Paul says, look, be not deceived. Neither fornicators. What's that? Those that live in fornication. Those that live in pornography. Those that live in in that lifestyle, those that live in sexual misconduct, those that live in that, in those vile affections, those people that claim to be Christians but never get any victory and say, I don't know why I can't get any victory. I just have to watch porn like all day. I just have to live my life all day like that. I just have to stay a sexual deviant all day like that. I never get any victory over that. Well, there's a problem with that. You're still dead in trespasses and sins. I didn't say you peeked at it once or twice or looked at it and then you got right with God or you've done that before. I'm not talking about that. The Bible's clear. You live like that, you never come out of those sins, and you live in those sins constantly. That's not salvation. That isn't. And I'd be afraid if I never had victory over that. I'd be afraid of that. Right now, I'm not just talking to the homosexual or the sodomite or the transgender. I'm talking about the professing Christians that live in fornication. They live in that wickedness. They live in that. Their lives are ruled by that, and they have no power over sin at all through the Holy Ghost. There's a problem there. I'm not preaching sinless perfectionism, because the Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we have sin that we have to get right with God. We do sin at times, and we do have to repent at times. We do have to confess at times to the Lord and get things right. I'm not talking about that. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. So Paul's explaining to you, don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. Who's that? To grow or make womanish. Have the qualities of the female sex, soft or delicate to an unmanly degree, tender, womanish, voluptuous. Womanish, weak. Resembling the practice or qualities of the sex as effeminate peace, effeminate life, womanlike in tender sense, in a sense not reproachful, to make womanish, to unman, to weaken as effeminate children, to grow womanish. What is it teaching you? Right? What is it teaching you that those men that turn themselves into women, that act effeminate, that walk around acting feminine, or that turn or transgender themselves, those men that go in drag or the drag time story hour and the men that dress up like women, the transgenders, transvestites, all these other groups of people, they are effeminate and it is not new. If you think it's new, you're insane. It's not new. It's been around. The Apostle Paul preached against it. Why is he preaching on it in Corinthians? Why is Paul preaching on it in Corinthians? Why didn't Jesus preach on it? Because it wasn't a problem in Jerusalem. Because those Pharisees would have killed them. Well, where was it a problem at? The Gentile world. Corinth was a port city, a very huge port city. And what was in Corinth? Fornication everywhere. It was normal to live a sexually promiscuous life in Corinth. It was absolutely normal for them to fornicate. Absolutely normal for them to have open marriages. Absolutely normal for them to have girlfriends and boyfriends and every other kind of friend. Absolutely normal. It was normal. It was normal for the Gentiles to live that way. Then they got saved by the grace of God, and Paul said, that's over. You don't fornicate anymore. You don't live your life like that. You're not a dog in heat. You don't live your life like that. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. What is that? Homosexuals. They are abusers of themselves with mankind. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Such were some of you. So what is that about? Well, that's about hope. Paul said, some of you used to be effeminate. You mean to tell me some trannies or some transgenders or some homosexuals or some perverts got saved? Yeah. And Paul said, you used to be those people. But you're not those people now. You used to be. Some of you, such as were some of you. Some of you were effeminate. Some of you may have been little boy prostitutes or little girl prostitutes. Some of you may have been harlots or whores. Some of you may have been lesbians or transgenders. Some of you. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Look at that. That's the hope. If anyone is stuck in any of these sins, they can be justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. They can be saved from their sins. They can be washed, and such were some of you, but ye are washed. Ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So how are they washed and sanctified? By the Spirit of our God. How are they justified? By Jesus Christ alone. He's talking about them coming out of that sin. Being delivered. These, he said, such as were some of you. Some of you were these people. Some of you were the thieves. Some of you were the unrighteous. Some of you were deceived and fornicators and idolaters and adulterers and effeminate. Some of you were abusers of yourselves with mankind. Some of you were thieves. Some of you were covetous. Some of you were drunkards. Some of you were revilers. Some of you were extortioners that ripped people off. You extorted people and robbed them and ripped them off and took advantage of them. But you're washed. But you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Okay, so what's that mean? That means that when people like Steven Anderson preach to you that homosexuals can't be saved, he's lying. This says that he's lying. That lesbians can't be saved, that transgenders can't be saved, these people can't be saved. Nope, that's not true. Why? Because they're right there. Paul said it, such as were some of you. Some of you were those people. And you could be delivered. But let me tell you something. If you think you can go on in that lifestyle, the Bible calls it unrighteous. The Bible calls it unrighteous. And if you believe that you can do those things, that are without natural affection, that you can be an abuser of themselves with mankind, that you can live as fornicators or idolaters or adulterers or effeminate or abusers of themselves, if you can live the LGBTQ lifestyle, if you believe that you can do that, you are sorely mistaken. And you are deceived. And Paul wants you to know, be not deceived. Be not deceived. That's what the Bible warns. Don't be deceived. If you continue this way, I don't care what you claim, you're going to die and go to hell. Because you've never met the Lord and he's never changed. Listen to me. When I got saved by the grace of God, I was living privately in sin and trying to go to church and trying to do things the right way and was engaged to my future wife. But that old preacher preached that message and I became convicted. I can find that old preacher on my photos. Maybe I can find him. Pretty sure they're here somewhere. Let's see. Maybe I gotta click on. Let's see here. I got to go down a little ways. Anyway, that old preacher, he preached that the hottest spot in hell is reserved for that Baptist church member doesn't drop his pride, admit that he was never saved by the grace of God, never changed by the Spirit of God, right? Never made a new creature. And that was me because I was like 4 years old, right? I was like four. I made a profession of faith. And you know what? The Lord had his hand on me through it all. I know that to be true. I know God had his hand on me through it all. God kept me. God protected me all along the way. He kept me from sin, from sinning too deeply. He kept me from destroying my life completely. He did. That's what the Lord did. That's what God does. You know, I can't pretend to explain, you know, how that all happened or why it happened the way it did or anything like that. But all I do know is that that's what the Lord did. He kept me, right? He kept me from being consumed by sin. He kept me from being taken. But I did sin and I did live wickedly. Then you know what? The Lord Jesus, I had a head-on collision course with the Holy Ghost. That's what happened. Head-on collision course. I got saved by the grace of God, and he changed my old fornicating heart and life and made me a new creature. He put his Spirit inside of me, and he made me new. Like he said in the Bible, behold, all things are new. And he changed me. He made me new, and he gave me a heart to follow him, which I couldn't give myself. There's no way. I couldn't give myself that heart. I couldn't change me. I couldn't make me a new creature. Jesus Christ had to do that. And Jesus Christ is well able to save your soul. The Bible says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. That's the work of Jesus. And he ever lives to make intercession. He, you know what? Jesus can change your life and he can make you a new creature where old things are passed away and all things are become new. That's the work of the Lord. That's the work of the Spirit of God. That's the work that he can do inside your heart and soul and mind. He can change you and he can make you a new creature. But you know what? You got to repent. You got to repent and you got to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. You got to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Let the Lord change your life and heart and make you a new creature. So you walk the narrow way and he'll make you to be able to do that. You and I can't do that on our own. We don't have that kind of power. We don't have the power to change ourselves. People say, well, I was born this way. Well, get born again. God will make you new. Whatever poison you pick is your own poison. But let me just say that when the Son of Man shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. That's the truth. Jesus Christ has the power on earth to forgive sins. Jesus Christ has the power to change your life and to make you a new creature. Jesus Christ can make all things new. But you must repent. The Bible says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. You must see that you're a lost, hell-bound sinner, and you deserve to go to hell. You deserve to die in your sins. Somebody asked me a question. Pastor, I know that the sinner's prayer is unbiblical. Do you think that people still get saved if praying the sinner's prayer with an open, sincere heart? Yes. I believe the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, here's the thing. There's nothing wrong with the sinner's prayer. You want to know what's wrong? What's wrong is people coaxing them into it. It's coaxing people into that. Evangelizing them, showing them their lost condition, showing them that that they are lost and dead in sins, and that they need to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. That's not wrong, okay? The problem is when people try to coax them into it, try to talk them into it. In other words, trick them into it. I had a pastor one time that some lady said, he asked her after he showed her the gospel, he asked her, well, do you want to pray with me? And she said, no. And he said, okay. And he said, well, can I pray for you? And she said, yes. And he bowed his head right there and he goes, dear Jesus, now Beth is with us here and she's lost. And Beth, will you just say, dear Jesus? And Beth just started saying, dear Jesus, and followed his prayer. And it had not, like, she didn't know her need for the Savior. You cannot be saved until you know you are lost, until you know that you are lost and that you are dead in sins, that you are the one that Christ came to die for, that you understand that you are lost and dead in sins, that it's you, right? Another pastor, another guy that I was with one time. He was out there, and this Catholic guy said, he was with this Catholic guy and he showed him the gospel plan of salvation, or he called it this five finger thing, which is like a five finger discount. It was really weird. It was stupid. But anyway, I hate it. It's dumb. But anyway, he showed him that. And then he goes, and then he said, will you pray? And the Catholic guy said, well, I'll say your prayer if you say mine. And the guy and the soul winner that was with me goes, okay. So they both repeated, and when they walked out of the house, I was like, well, did you become a Catholic or did he get saved? I don't know which. I said, you don't really think that guy got saved, do you? You don't really think that guy... Like, that guy wasn't under conviction. He didn't know that he was lost. He didn't know that he needed Jesus Christ to save his soul. He wasn't convicted of his lost condition. He didn't do that at all. And that's why most of the time, a lot of those people that do that, there's no fruit in their life. They don't. I remember David Cloud talks about that. He knocked on the door one time of somebody, and he went, or him or another guy did, another pastor. And he knocked on this guy's door, and he asked this guy, you know, he asked this guy that if he knew that if he was going to die, he'd go to heaven, and if he was lost or if he was saved. And the guy said, yeah, I'm saved. Oh, he goes, I did that. Yeah, I did that. I said the prayer. Somebody came by my door and I said that prayer. And he goes, well, can I ask you a couple questions? And he said, sure. He said, the guy's watching TV the whole time he's talking to this guy. He's not even paying attention to the pastor that's talking to him. And he says to him, well, do you ever go to church? And the guy goes, no. Do you ever read the Bible? No. Do you ever want to be around God's people? No. Okay, have a nice day. And he left. The guy cared nothing for the things of God at all. Was under no conviction to read his Bible, under no conviction for any of that. Right? But do I believe that God can use the sinner's prayer? Of course he can. Some people don't know how to pray and call on the name of the Lord. There's nothing wrong with helping them and showing them that. What's wrong is coaxing them or, you know, like tricking them or being deceptive. But absolutely, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what the Bible says. Right. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the sinner's prayer. Amen. My pastor, the day I came to him and admitted I wasn't saved, he told me, he goes, well, he was going to lead me into a prayer. And he goes, wait a minute. He goes, you know what to do. You go ahead. And I bowed my head right there on the edge of his counter. I bowed my head and confessed my lost condition to the Lord, cried out to the Lord to save me. Man, I'll tell you what. After I said amen, I lifted my head up and I began to weep like a baby, uncontrollably from the depths of my soul. I was weeping and I didn't even understand why. I asked him, I said, I don't know why I'm crying like that. And he goes, relief. It's that burden. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Amen. So I got good news for whoever's stuck in that lifestyle. The only good news I can give you, Jesus saves, but he'll change you. You say, yeah, but I don't know if I want to be changed. Well, ask him. Ask him to change you. Ask him to show you. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Right? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen. Call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Hallelujah. What a Savior. God is able to save you. From the uttermost to the guttermost. Right? And praise God for that. All right, let's play a song here. And let's get to a song here. And then we'll say hi to everybody. All right, before we go here, let's see if I can find the one I'm looking for. Let's see if it's this one here. Nope, that's not the one I'm looking for. Nope, not that one either. Not that one either. Let's see. I'm going to cause this thing to short circuit here. Hold on. I'm going to find it. That's not it. That's it.
Oh, I'm so happy in the Lord, ere since he saved my soul. I'll shout it from the mountaintops, Christ Jesus made me whole. Holadi, holado, holadi, 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 holado, holadi, 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 blessing, singing praises always till he takes us home. That when we die, the heavenly gate he will. So each day here we'll walk with him in liberty and hope.
Right there is Carl's favorite song, and I just had to play that for him because he likes it so much and all that good stuff. Well, listen, I want to say hi to everybody. There was or is about 50 over 50 people on YouTube. Then we had about 16-17 people there on over on Sermon Audio, and let's see, and then Twitch. We added Twitch in there. And all that good stuff. So we added that in there. And so Andrew added Twitch, and he's adding a bunch of these other platforms. We're going to see what we can do, and all that good stuff. So, everybody, let's see. Why don't you say hi here before we get out of here? Oh, man, I've gone over my 2 hours. Man. Pray that all have a blessed weekend. A prayer for safe travels for us would be appreciated. We are headed to the Lake of the Ozarks on Sunday morning. Wow. All right. We will pray for you. Anybody else want to say hi? I'll give you a chance to say hi. How's the studio going? It's going good. It's right behind you. This is what we're working on right now. This picture will not be here permanently. We've just got it set up there right now. But what it's going to end up being is a sliding barn door there, so I can open that window when I'm not recording in the studio. And we're working on that right now. So you pray for us about that as we continue to work. We're going to tidy up the sound. We're going to do a few things here with the studio. We're going to be working on a few different things like that. So we got some things in the works. We're not done yet. We've got to this weekend. We're hoping to get a lot of the install done for the central area or the HVAC unit, so I don't roast in here. It's not hot yet, but next week it's going to be 90, so it'll be hot and humid next week. So Lord willing, I'll be able to do all that fun stuff and get that in there. Will it be on TikTok? If I can get on there, I'll go on TikTok. You bet I will. I will go on there, see what I can do there. Here is our sermon audio page, sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley. These are the newest sermons. This is the newest sermon that I preached Wednesday. All right, that is Paul, the police, and a very angry, murderous mob. That is from Acts, the expository preaching in the book of Acts. All right, so there is that. And then there's other things that this was Monday's broadcast, 25 ways Christians grieve the Holy Ghost. That was Monday's broadcast. Okay. So, and then that's an edited one. I edited some of that. Little Faith in a Great Storm is on there. So you have all these sermons on there. David Thompson, hello from New Buffalo, Michigan. I talked to Pastor David Thompson yesterday on the phone. Hope you're doing well. And all that good stuff. All right. If you would like to support our ministry, number one, pray. Pray for us. We need prayer. All right. Number two, if you'd like to give to our ministry, please consider giving to our ministry. You can give through PayPal, salvationpreacher@gmail.com, or pastorcooley@icloud.com, or you can mail us something at the bottom of the screen right here. People do also Apple Pay. People do Bitcoin and other things like that, and people mail things to us too as well. So you're more than welcome to give on any of those different platforms. But we're going to increase our expenses because we are broadening out our reach. We're doing Restream right now. And in that Restream, we have to get like Rumble. We signed up for Rumble today, which will cost us $25 a month for that one, which is not a huge deal, but we'll get on there. And we're on Twitch and some of the other ones. So we're on like a bunch of different, and we're streaming on Sermon Audio. All that stuff is an additional expense. So you pray for us as we pay for those things. And as we do that, that the Lord would continue to provide for our needs, and might be a little bit of buffering. I'm not sure why, but sometimes I'm not sure why it would, but anyway, so you pray for us that the Lord would continue to provide. All right. Anyway, so, and then you can catch us on YouTube. You can catch us on these other streaming platforms now. We are on Twitch. We are on DLive, Sermon Audio Live, YouTube Live, Facebook Live. I'm going to see if you can switch that to maybe my public page, though, on Facebook. Because I think it's way better. My Jason Cooley public page has thousands of contacts on that one. So we'll try to see if we can switch that around maybe and see what happens there. All that good stuff. Okay. So, God bless you all. I'm going to take off here. I got to go do some walking and praying, get some exercise here, and do some walking. Also, if you ever want to watch live, you can go right here to our live sermon audio, to our oldpastbaptistchurch.org website, and you can click on the live stream player, and then you can listen in live. Anytime we're live, that's sermon audio embedded onto our website. If you don't want to go through YouTube and all those other things because they're annoying, then you can do that, okay? All right, everybody. I got to go. I got to get some exercise in and spend some time with the Lord and get to work tomorrow on all the fun stuff that I'm doing. For sermons and all that good stuff. So God bless you all. You take care. What's my Cash App? Somebody asked me. That's a good question. Hang on a second. Let me look at that because I don't know for sure. Somebody sent me that a couple times. Cash App. They sent me money through that, and I... Let's see here. It's loading, and I'll tell you what it is. Because I don't really know for sure what that is. Yeah. I don't know why the Rumble thing is monetized. We don't know how that works yet. We're not really. Let's see here. It's under Jason Cooley, Pastor Cooley 76. So my hashtag is Pastor Cooley 76. I don't know if that helps you. That's what it says on here. So I have had people send me that occasionally, actually, but I don't know. There's another one. Somebody sent me something on one time. I think it's called Pop Money or something. Yeah, somebody sent me money through there too. I don't understand how it all works, but anyway, they did. And so if anybody wants to do that, they most certainly can. And all that good stuff. All right, everybody. God bless you. Take care. And we will talk to you soon. I got to figure out how you know what? Oh, I'm guessing I probably end it over here. Let me just play a song as we leave here. How about that? How about we do that? Let's see. Because parting is such sweet sorrow. That's the Yodeling Trio. I like that song.
Something in my heart that Jesus gave to me. It makes me feel like singing glory all the day. He found my captive soul and gave me liberty. And now I feel like singing glory. He makes the night feel brighter and a blessing day. He makes the burden lighter all along the way. His word is my delight, his will I now obey. And all the time I'm singing glory. My Savior too.